Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. We're talking Jerusalem Marathon. And I'm really excited to introduce Klaas Mokhomle onto the show. He coordinates the organization Africans for Peace, a collective of independent students, scholars, and activists who bring an African lens to the global debate on peace and stability in Africa and around the world. And he's just returned back from Israel, having run in the Jerusalem Marathon. Klaas, welcome, and thank you so very much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Wow, Klaas, so before we even get to the Jerusalem Marathon, because I cannot wait to hear all about it, I think it's so important for our listeners to get a bit of an understanding. I mean, you were born in Sunnyside in Limpopo province, and from a young age, you were quite active in politics, I believe from the age of 16. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think my leadership was influenced by church. So growing up in a very Christian family, I've been leading in church, going to high school that was very political. We had very influential teachers that challenged us to lead in a number of structures. So in high school, I was part of the ANC Youth League and also was part of the COSAS, Congress of South African Students. So I got very, very involved in a number of activities, political activities in my area, where they involved service delivery. They involved a number of things in on the schools as well. Then after doing my matric, I got vets. And then at vets, I continued with my activism. I joined what you call the Law Student Council. I got voted into that. I was part of the House Committee. I was voted into the Vet Sports Council. I also became a treasurer of the ANC Youth League at VETS. And when I was treasurer actually at VETS, it's during the time when Julius Malema was a president of the Youth League nationally, before the inception of the EFF. Then later on in 2012, 2013, that's when I got voted into SRC. And yeah, that's when my life turned around, I guess, to be part of the anti-Israel organizations.
Wow. So how, you know, I mean, as you say, very active from a young age, very yes. involved in studying law at WITS. So what was your introduction? How did you get involved in, you know, yeah, what was that first introduction into these anti-Israel movements and your response to that?
Look, the organizations are very, like they plan. They are very organized in terms of recruitment. They lobby, they recruit, and they have a plan on the recruit. So there's a plan for people in high school. There's a plan for those in varsity. There's a plan for leaders outside and those in parliament. So what they do is that they target influential universities. We always say when someone at VETS coughs or when VETS coughs, the whole country catches the flu. If you remember, fees must fall only became a big deal after VETS got involved in it. You know, before fees must fall came from Rhodes Must Fall. Rhodes Must Fall was just a UCT thing. It never became a big thing because even at Rhodes University, they couldn't do anything. Even at the Oxford University, they couldn't do much. But when it came to fees must fall, other universities tried, but it became a big thing when VETS entered. So at VETS, they targeted the student leaders, which are in the SRCs, in the clubs, societies, and organizations, you know, all these other councils. So what happened is that obviously they came and approached us and told us that Israel is an apartheid state and gave us information which was false, telling us stuff that are not really true. And they're talking to black students who are activists, who are radicals. I was born actually in 1991, and we always say apartheid ended in 94, but I was raised by parents that grew up in apartheid. And so, of course, when we get that information that Israel is an apartheid state, as student leaders, we got touched and we took it upon ourselves that we are going to boycott and we are going to make sure that we disrupt Events that have to do with Zionism, events that have to do with Israel, because we're not going to allow anything that has to do with Zionism on our campus. At the time, we defined Zionism as racism because we believe that it is exclusive and it segregated and it was racist towards the Palestinians. And we were told that if we are black people and we are to visit Israel, we'll be treated as secondary citizens. So it was easy for them to actually capture us because they knew that the word apartheid would mean something to us and it would trigger us. So we got into it, we jumped into it, and we started protesting on our campuses whenever there were events by South African Union of Jewish Students. We'll try boycott or actually disrupt those events. South African Zionist Federation and Jewish Board of Deputies will try to have events on our campus. We will boycott. They brought a piano player on our campus in 2013. We went and disrupted that event. So a couple of things that were happening there, we walk around singing and chanting and stuff like that. So it was a big deal.
Yeah. So what changed and how did it change?
How it changed is that 2013, after the Board of Jewish Deputies and SAZF, they brought in Yossi Rashef at Vets to come and perform. Mm-hmm. And as SRC, we saw the posters. We said, these guys are bringing a Zionist, someone from an apartheid land, to come and perform on our campus. We decided to gather and lobby students to come and disrupt that event. We went to that event, piano recital. We disrupted that event. After disrupting that event, obviously people were intimidated and a number of stuff. So the university charged us because they said we exceeded the bounds of protest. You know, you can protest, but you can't really intimidate people. Also, you can't disrupt events when you're protesting. And we were taken to a disciplinary hearing, which lasted very long at the time. Then we were facing expulsion. We were found guilty later on. If you should Google the VET 11, hashtag VET 11, to show you they were there. So we were getting expelled. I can tell you, even during that time, the group that was charged involved some big names like Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, former EFF guy, now works at another radio station. They always call him a failed politician, but I don't know. Yeah, he was part of us who were charged at VET, Dr. Mbuyiseni Ndlozi. And when we got that, we are charged. That's when I realized, actually, I'm from, if you can check my bio, I'm from Limpopo, very, very small village, from a very poor family. I came to VET to actually get a degree so I can change the lives of those who are close to me. But I'm here now getting expelled because of my involvement in the BDS and these other anti-organizations where we're fighting and swearing at the Jews and drawing swastikas on our campus, you know, doing a number of stuff. So what happened is that I took it upon myself now to actually learn about the conflict, to research, to understand what's happening, and I realized it didn't work out for me. So 2015, I got an opportunity to go to Israel on a student tour to learn. So it was a couple of my friends from the organizations that were anti-Israel and a few other independent people. So we went and we learned about the conflict. So it was shocking to actually experience Israel firsthand because spiritual level, I'm a Christian, as I said, and I connected it with the Israel, especially in Jerusalem, from that level. But also, as a politician, I got to analyze and see things for myself. I asked questions that were difficult, for example, you know, asking questions about the Holocaust, asking questions that can actually make you anti-Semitic. But we asked all those difficult questions. We met with people from Ramallah, Rawabi, Bethlehem. We met people from Nazareth, Haifa, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem. We spoke with everyone, actually. We spoke and we engaged. And that's when I realized that, man, I've been lied to here. There's no apartheid here because I know what apartheid is. I know what my parents told me. Also, I'm not that untrue. I did history in high school. I did a number of stuff. I did my research. This is not what I was told. I was told that in Tel Aviv Promenade, when I walk, there'll be a sign saying Jews only. In some clubs when I go to in Tel Aviv, they'll be telling me that Jews only, you know, stuff like that. When I go to Jerusalem, there'll be stuff that there'll be boards telling me that I can't enter here because I'm black. So it was really, really shocking, a very shocking experience, because I didn't experience
it wasn't like
what I was
that.
Told about.
So, you know, Klaas, I mean, I actually wish I had a whole hour to talk to you, because I love your story and everything that you're saying. But we unfortunately, we're short for time. So I'm going to forward wind to you now recently going, because I know you've run marathons. You're a great runner. I know that you ran the marathon here and you were holding signs about free the hostages. And I can only imagine the kind of hostility that you faced to then being in Jerusalem and running for the DL Link, you know, in support of cancer warriors, and in a country where you're not going to get any of those hostilities. So just very quickly, what was the Jerusalem Marathon like for you?
Oh, yeah. Jerusalem Marathon is actually nice. I've run a couple of marathons in South Africa, including like Soweto, Cape Town, a couple of them. I actually ran ultra marathons as well. Like I'm running one this weekend. I'm running Comrades as well. But Jerusalem was unique. The vibe and also the race is very organized, but also the connection. So it's a historic marathon, because where every step you take there, number one, when you take a step, you get to realize actually this is a holy land. This is a place where this place has been in existence for over 3,000 years. And you get to see that, you get to reflect on that. And also because I ran under DL Link, I understand that my race today is a special one, because I'm running for all the cancer warriors, you know. And it was very touching, you know. So it kept pushing me and I kept going, because last year I ran it under a bus. So we're just running with some guys. We're doing like a 3 hour, 30 minutes. So this year we're just like, okay, I had a hamstring injury when I ran it, but I felt like I'm going to run it faster this time around so that I can push. And I did it in 3 hours 13. And it was actually a good one, because I had people in my head that I'm running for the cancer warriors. Obviously, thanks to DL Link and then Jeff Shankman, who made it possible for me to actually get there. But it was an interesting race, very, very historic. I feel like I was blessed to actually be part of the group that ran this year.
You were blessed and they were blessed, Klaas. Amazing. And what a brilliant time. I thank you so much. Thank you for running the race. Thank you for the work that you do. And thank you for coming onto the show and sharing your story. I hope we're going to have you on again. I'd love to hear more about your story. Thanks for joining us, Klaas. Go well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. 101.9 High FM. Wow. What an amazing story Klaas shared.